Anna Savanda, you have a deep dive now into the Wounded Warrior Project's annual alumni survey. What can you share with us?
Well, this is the fifth of five planned surveys. It's our most responded to survey with over 21,000 respondents. We think that makes it the most relevant and robust data set about veterans and the challenges they face to date. At Wounded Warrior Project, we really want to provide programs and services that can address some of those challenges. And to address them effectively, we need to know what they are. So we put a lot of effort and time into collecting this information in hopes of better serving warriors.
And let's talk to one of them, Staff Sergeant Eric Millett. You were a combat patrol leader in the Army. Can you tell us a little bit about your tours of duty and how your experience relates to these survey results that we're learning about this morning?
Well, I did two tours of duty in Iraq. My second tour is a lot more difficult than my first. As a combat patrol leader, I experienced 17 improvised explosive devices, nine of which detonated about 3 feet from my door. The last on October 2nd was the most damaging, caused a spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, left knee injury, and a lower back injury. But even more prominent than that was it severely wounded my driver, and that led to the post-traumatic stress, the guilt. And when I was medically retired in 2007, I didn't understand the invisible wounds, and I couldn't expect anybody else to, because if I didn't, how could they? I started to self-medicate heavily. There were lots of thoughts of suicide. At one point, I was putting a gun in my mouth more than a spoon or a fork. Eventually, I hit rock bottom in November of 2012, and I reached out to Wounded Warrior Project. And that's when they sent me on a Project Odyssey. It's a week-long retreat where I could share stories of struggle and successes with other warriors. And it was then that my life was completely turned around. Wounded Warrior Project impacted my life so much that not only did they change it, but they literally saved my life. I got involved with their 20 programs and services that they offer. I was able to reconnect with other warriors through the engagement that Wounded Warrior Project does, and continue that peer-to-peer counseling, which I found most effective and really helped me in my recovery.
Right. And so the work that's being done, and by the way, Wounded Warrior is based here in Jacksonville, we need to note. There are many others like you that are still dealing with the after effects of their combat experience.
There are. There's over 460,000 returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that suffer from post-traumatic stress, survivor's guilt, combat stress. Over 300,000 that suffer from a traumatic brain injury or a spinal cord injury. And currently at Wounded Warrior Project, we serve over 58,000 alumni who are wounded warriors, both physical and in the invisible wounds, and over 8,000 family members. And with those numbers, you know, when we put this survey out, we want to reach each and every single one of them to get them the help that they deserve. And these numbers scare me because our database is only at 58,000, 100,000 by 2017. Where are the rest of these warriors? And where they are is sitting at home, suffering in silence, thinking that I'm alone, nobody understands. When in fact, we at Wounded Warrior Project, we understand, and we want you to get the help that you need and so rightfully deserve.
And as we speak with the Jacksonville-based Wounded Warrior Project on this 9/11 anniversary, we want your calls. Whether you're a veteran, have a loved one who served, or just have some thoughts, we'll go to the phones in just a moment at 549-2937. So, Anna Savanda, manager with the Wounded Warrior Project, last night the president gave a speech where he said that we as a nation, along with a coalition, will combat the threat of ISIL, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, but he was careful to stress and I'm quoting here, that there will not be American combat troops fighting on foreign soil. As we're hearing about this survey and what our returning veterans are dealing with and how traumatic their experience has been, what's your reaction to that announcement that at least at this time they're not committing major boots on the ground in Iraq and Syria?
Well, I'm sure there are some mixed reactions in the veteran community. We know from our survey results that overwhelmingly veterans that return wounded return with some of these invisible injuries. As Eric alluded to, they also return with physical injuries. And some of those injuries affect them for the rest of their lives. We show that over 3/4 of our alumni population suffer from sleep problems. Over 3/4 suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And they also experience injuries like neck and shoulder problems. And then anxiety and depression round out the top five. So these are the types of issues and problems that can really follow you into the future. So, you know, I'm sure there's some relief in hoping that we're not going to have more boots on the ground in Iraq. And I think with our overwhelmed VA system, we can hope that's the case.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Sergeant Millett, new legislation was just passed to improve care for veterans through the VA after reports surfaced of issues with care. What are your thoughts about that piece of it as we look at potentially, not at this time anyway, they're saying, but potentially committing more troops to this region of the world?
Well, I think that we need to focus on the men and women who fight these wars and their long-term care needs. If we look at the first wave that went into Afghanistan, their medical needs are ever-changing as they get older. And if this country decides to put boots back on the ground, we at Wounded Warrior Project are focused on the warriors when they return and making sure that their needs are met, understanding that there are physical wounds and there are the invisible wounds. And we want to make sure that they, again, get the care that they deserve and that they are recognized for their service and that they're well taken care of, as well as their families.
And the Jacksonville-based Wounded Warrior Project is in studio this morning as we take your calls on this anniversary of 9/11. Give us a call with your thoughts, 549-2937. Let's begin with Pat in St. Mary's. Hey, Pat, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes, I think if you want to see what America will look like in 50 years as a result of not treating these veterans, you should look at the Korean War veterans population, because they suffered very much. My father is one of those, and as his child, he went on to also serve in Vietnam. And as his child, entire families and generations are impacted by this. I know there are many wonderful programs out there to help bring veterans into the entrepreneurial programs. I know the Institute for Veterans and Military Families this week is actually sponsoring a 9-day program for the spouses and caretakers of wounded warriors to help them get into entrepreneurial programs. But if everyone's on the same page, maybe we won't have the cranky Afghani war veterans like we have the cranky Korean War veterans. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And that's Pat in St. Mary's, Georgia. Pat, thanks for the call. Anna Savanda, your thoughts?
I think that she's right. I think we all need to be on the same page as a nation to address some of these issues. I think it's been shown that when veterans return home, if they can receive the care that they need and the respect that they deserve for their service, then they're really much better off.
549-2937 is the number to join the show on this 9/11 anniversary. Let's go to Paul in Orange Park now. Hey, Paul. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Melissa. This is a vital issue. I'm very glad you're addressing it. When we sent the military into Iraq in 2003, it was basically with the understanding they had a blank check. Now that we have wounded warriors, we should have that same blank check and build facilities, have social workers going out and contacting these men wherever they are, and many of them are homeless and living in woods and things like that. One of the things that concerns me is in 2 years we have another presidential election, and who's to say that the person who gets elected doesn't change their mind about boots on the ground. And that concerns me deeply. I would also like to suggest that 18, 19, 20-year-old men are too young to send in the battle. I mean, they're physically able, but they're not developmentally, psychologically, at the point in their life where they can handle the horrors of war. And I would like to see the age of induction moved up to 21. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you for the program.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Paul in Orange Park. Paul, thanks so much for the call. Lots of really thoughtful calls coming in. Eric Millett, what do you think about that? That we're sending young men and young women at the age as young as 18 into this incredibly scarring experience. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned women. A lot of people forget that this country does send women to combat. As much as we don't want to acknowledge it, it happens. There are no front lines in Iraq and Afghanistan. Everything is the front line. And with the presidential election coming up, again, boots on the ground, it may change. But at Wounded Warrior Project, our mission is to honor and empower wounded warriors. We want to foster the most successful, well-adjusted generation of injured service members in our nation's history. And to do that, we rely on the community, we rely on the support of this nation, and we all do need to be on the same page in supporting the warrior. You may not support the war, but support the warrior and recognize their needs.
And Anna, let me ask you about what the caller just said, that we support our people say they support the troops, but then in terms of policy, when they return home, often the veterans don't feel supported in terms of challenges they face getting good medical care, challenges they face finding work. There are a range of issues in addition to the injuries veterans suffer, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We know that veteran, at least in our population, veteran unemployment is higher than the national average, almost double the national average. We know that they struggle with physical issues. A lot of them are overweight, and they struggle with that, maybe due to their injuries. We know that they carry a lot of debt. In addition to struggling with some of these health issues, that they struggle to find jobs. We know that about a third of them are in school right now pursuing education. But knowing that, less than a quarter have a bachelor's degree. So they encounter all these different struggles in addition to some of the physical and emotional issues they're encountering. And you have to expect that some of those physical and emotional issues can't help, you know, in that struggle to be successful citizens.
And on this 13th anniversary of the September 11th attacks that launched our overseas commitment of troops in the Middle East, we want your calls right now. As we speak with the Jacksonville-based Wounded Warrior Project, 549-2937 is the number to join the show. It's Pat in Fleming Island. Hey, Pat, thanks for holding, and go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. First of all, I'd like to salute the Wounded Warriors program. It really is a great program. I support it not only with finances, but with deeds. However, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't need a Wounded Warriors program? Here we go again, going into Syria, going into another Islamic country that doesn't behave like we like, and we're going to go get involved. Now, we've said no boots on the ground. Does anybody really believe that? Does anybody believe that we're just going to wait around and keep bombing and not put our troops on the ground? It's the only way you can win one of these. Well, first of all, you can't win one. Ask the guys that have been there. You know, we're broke, and here we go again. I just can't believe that our nation has been duped into thinking that ISIL is a direct threat to us. Here we go again. I'd love to hear what the warriors think about
it. All right. Thank you, Pat. That's Pat in Fleming Island. So, Staff Sergeant Millett, I think Pat reflects the sentiment of quite a few Americans in that the public is weary of war, hesitant to combat, to commit more troops and treasure overseas. What do you think?
Well, as an Iraq veteran and knowing a lot of Iraqi veterans, the thought of going back into Iraq or the thought of unfinished business is very unsettling. You heard, and I talk about our statistics and how many of our warriors suffer from post-traumatic stress, survivor's guilt, combat stress. And these types of situations in the country only provoke that. So what we just try to combat, and what my main focus is on them. You know, September is National Suicide Awareness Month. Yesterday was Suicide Prevention Day. So those are things that we really want to focus on, is things in the news, things that happen in the world that can push those buttons, that can trigger our warriors. And we want to make sure that they get the help that they get.
549-2937. Lots of calls this morning. Let's go now to Mark on the South Side. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. I like to, thank all the veterans, as a veteran myself. I would like to hear more of a discussion of, more to the point of the questions you asked your two panelists earlier of, can you please talk about the actual policies that our country has towards our returning vets? I don't really want to hear platitudes. I want to hear about your opinions on the policies and the money we spend on our veterans returning versus the money we spend on going to war in the first place.
So judging by your question, it sounds as though you think we need to spend more on the veterans once they return home.
Absolutely. At least as much.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Is that something, and I know you want to keep the discussion general, but is that something that other veterans, is that a sentiment your fellow veterans share?
They do, absolutely. But again, they also appreciate the work that nonprofits do, not only Wounded Warrior Project, but there's a lot of veteran service organizations out there that step up in the place of the government. And we all appreciate the Department of Veterans Affairs and they're what they do. It's just an overwhelmed system that right now is catching a bad rap. At Wounded Warrior Project, what makes us unique is we work with so many other veteran service organizations. We want to be the best at what we do every single day and provide a service. And if we can't provide that service, we look to other veteran service organizations to assist us and help us do that. And that's what makes us unique. So we want to make sure, again, that the warriors are well taken care of and we're giving them the programs, the services, the care that they need and that their family needs.
And you mentioned that the VA has been overwhelmed. Anna, is that in part due to the fact that because, as Sergeant Millette mentioned, IEDs, explosive devices, have caused really severe injuries to so many combat veterans that have returned home, and they've required really specialized treatment. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. It's really IED blasts and blast injuries are some of the most the most common injuries that are reported in our survey. So 57.1% of respondents indicate that they suffer from these sorts of injuries. And we know that these injuries can be physical and mental. They can create very complicated care cases for these warriors. And, the VA is uniquely set up to handle some of these complicated cases. Like Eric said, though, it's often overwhelmed with the number of returning veterans who need care.
Can I add something to that, Melissa, real quick?
Sure.
And I think another thing that plays into that is battlefield medicine. Battlefield medicine has come such a long way that we're not losing as many troops on the battlefield that we once did, and they're surviving their injuries and they're recovering from them and requiring more care, which overwhelms our systems.
Yeah, ironically, the advances in medicine have also overwhelmed the system of care because
yes.
More people are coming home alive, injured, but alive.
That's correct.
Yeah. Doran on the west side. Doran, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to ask two quick questions. One, my impression is that there are a number of homeless veterans, and I'm wondering how does the Wounded Warrior Program work with the veterans and get them a safe, quality home, and what can we do to improve that process and accelerate it? The second question is, if either of your guests have any knowledge about what I read, I think in the Jacksonville Business Journal, that the Wounded Warrior Project organization is moving its offices out of Jacksonville to, I think, a neighboring community.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what do we do to keep it here in Jacksonville? It's, I think, such a phenomenal organization and a feather in our cap. It needs to stay in Jacksonville. What can we do
that? Sure. Thank you for both of those excellent questions. Anna?
Well, our survey shows that about 8% of our alumni population has been homeless at some point in the last 12 months. So we recognize that as a problem, and we recognize home insecurity in general as a problem.
There was a recent discussion in Springfield about housing for homeless veterans, we need to point out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that this is a tough nut to crack. There are a lot of issues that go into homelessness, and we do work with local organizations throughout the country, and we partner with other nonprofits to try to address this issue.
And what about his question about Wounded Warrior maybe moving out of Jacksonville?
Right. Well, this is preliminary. We're growing so rapidly as our service population grows, and we're just considering options. I don't think we've made any initial decisions about anything.
No final decision, but let's close then with your final thoughts, Staff Sergeant Eric Millett, as we mark this anniversary.
Well, first I want to thank you for having us on this morning so we could raise awareness for those continuing needs of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that have been wounded both physically and emotionally. And as we think back today and we think back 13 years and remember 9/11, it all changed our lives and in different ways. It changed my life in the fact that it sent me to Iraq. And I will never forget September 11th, October 2nd, 2006, and the brave men and women I served with. And I've learned over time that the greatest casualty is being forgotten. And if you know someone who's suffering from the invisible wounds or physical wounds, I would ask that you send them to woundedwarriorproject.org, have them reach out to our resource center so that we can get them the help that they need. We don't want anybody to ever feel forgotten, and we are here for them.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were joined by Staff Sergeant Eric Millett and Anna Savanda, Metrics Manager, both with the Wounded Warrior Project here in Jacksonville.